Hello and welcome to the Magnetic Woman podcast with me, your host, Pandora Paloma, a visibility and business mastery coach, bringing a unique fusion of strategy meets spirituality to visionary entrepreneurs across the globe. With 20 plus years of communications experience and 5 years running my own online business, I help women in the online space and creative industries get seen and scale to their next level. This has looked like tripling their income in a year, getting fully booked in 6 months, sold out programs, and executing five-figure launches. Personally, I run my own multi-six-figure business, and in this podcast, I give you a behind the scenes of how I do this, my life, and my method. If you're a visionary entrepreneur, mover and shaker, and you're ready to meet more of your magnetism, welcome to my world. Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of the Magnetic Woman podcast, where instead of talking all things business today, I'm actually chiming in with a personal story or series of stories. Now, of course, it is in relation to business, and I'm going to tell you why I'm sharing this. And afterwards, after I've shared my 10 things, I'm going to share an exercise with you that will transform your own storytelling. Now, why is this important, you might be asking? Well, your shit, your stories is your superpower. And I would call myself a storyteller. I love stories. I love hearing people's stories. I spend many days of my existence supporting women to create their own stories, to remember their stories, to use those stories in their content, their assets, and of course, throughout their business. And storytelling really is what I believe now will build success for entrepreneurs. We are so over hearing ultimately things that aren't true, or things that have been, let's say, enhanced for marketing purposes. And ultimately now what we need and what we are seeing in the industry is how powerful storytelling is. Truthful, honest, raw, vulnerable stories that make us as humans who we are, and ultimately kind of why we all do what we do. You know, if you are in a service-based industry, you're superpower is your stories and your storytelling. I came across a beautiful quote when I was on retreat in LA with someone who was speaking to us about how we can enhance our messaging. And it was by a woman called Shona Rhimes. And it says, "Storytelling remains basic. It is just a campfire, the human connection that says you're not alone." And I loved this, and it was inspiration for this episode of the podcast. So I will finish at the end with how you can use your own versions of your stories in your own content and your assets. And ultimately, what I'm sharing today is the 10 experiences that have shaped my life and my career the most. So, hello. We're going to go personal today. So I kind of broke this down between the ages of 0 to 10, 10 and 20, and then 20 to present moment. I'm 39 this year in July. So, I've been around the block. I've been around the block. Certainly when it comes to business, I've been building my business now for 8 years, a little bit longer actually, nearly a decade. And all of these stories have shaped me one way or another. So the first is age zero. I was, 6 months old. And my dad left. Now, this taught me so much about wounds and how wounds are there to teach us how to remember that we are, in fact, whole. One of my mentors, Sophia Sundari, often talks about how we as humans come into the world to experience separation, only to heal those wounds to realize that we were never separate. And I know that in my father leaving when I was so young, that it was a wound that was always meant to be there. I cannot tell you how many times in plant medicine ceremonies, in meditations, in my EFT training, I was shown that it was always meant to be this way. I was always meant to be just me and my mum in those early years. And it was just always the way that it was meant to be. And I've really found peace with that now. For full context, I did meet my dad when I was 22. And I found out I had another sister. And backtrack. I was told by my dad that there were no other siblings. And about 3 years after I met him, he was based in Colorado, in Denver, in Colorado. I got a message from a girl who was my sister. She looked the spitting image of my dad, quite scarily so. And he very much denied it. And we stopped speaking. And then a few months after that, I was told that he had a heart attack and had passed. So those early years of my 20s were, you know, a real journey with my dad. What was wonderful, there were many things that were wonderful about my dad, but one of them is that he was an entrepreneur. The other side of that was that he never quite got there. There was a lot of debt. He left my mum in a lot of debt. He left his wife, who was with when I met him, in a lot of debt. And this has been such a piece of healing for me, that my version of entrepreneurship not only gets to be possible for me, but gets to be real for me. And the reason why this experience has shaped my career in so many ways has been I've really learned or had to learn what, or I've got to learn, let's say, what it is to really be in an overflow. You know, for me, holding money just wasn't safe because of the story that had been passed down for me, and the many stories around him just not quite reaching that level of success that he wanted, and hiding a lot of that. And it really taught me, you know, to be transparent, to be responsible, to be truthful, to have a really intimate relationship with money, and to build overflow through, you know, what I was doing mentally, energetically, and physically, you know, very, very physically allowing myself to hold money. And that's a whole other podcast episode. But story one, my dad leaving and the reasons why. So a story two, or experience two, was when my mum remarried. So age 7, I had to share my mum with 2 other girls, and I had to fit into a group of children who were already like really, really tight. I always felt like an outsider, and I feel like the reason why it really shaped, you know, who I am in life and who I am in my career is it really anchored me into curiosity. I knew that I wasn't like them in many ways, and so I was really curious as to what did fill me up? Who did I want to be around in those, you know, in those kind of early years? And I feel like that time supported me to be more curious to what the world could offer me, to what was available to me, to who I was in a sense. You know, I was always a super, super sensitive child. I love stories. You know, I loved stories. I would make storybooks and I would draw the pictures and write the stories and I would bind them. And I found them recently when I was unpacking some stuff from my mum's house. And, you know, that was always who I was. And they say, you know, the things that you did in your early years, who you were in your early years, was always who you were meant to be. You know, I was a storyteller and I was an empath. I was sensitive. That's who I am now, you know, and it served me very, very well in my life and in my business. So I feel like I got really curious about life at that age, especially then into my teens, which leads me to the next story, which is when I was due to take what we call here in the UK, the 11 plus. And I was not wildly academic, but I was smart. And I was told by my head teacher that my mother was told that I shouldn't be taking the 11 plus. I wasn't good enough. And where I lived in the UK, so we lived just outside of Canterbury in Kent, there was the Langton Girls' School and the Langton Boys' School. And then there were various other schools. the worst being towards the technology, which is where I ended up going. And I was told, my mother was told, that I was not a Langton girl. Pandora is not a Langton girl, and I wouldn't pass the 11 plus. My mum fought for me to do it anyway, and I didn't pass. My mum to this day stands by the fact that she thinks that that head teacher fiddled the results. Who knows? I can hand on heart say that, you know, tests are not my strong point. I feel very anxious when I have to do a test. It's like my whole body just, you know, just can't operate. But I was told that I wasn't a Langton girl. And I think that what that really taught me as an experience was, well, that people will try and tell you who you are. They will try and tell you what is possible for you and what is not possible for you, regardless of whether it's true. And what happened to me, I got into Chaucer Tech and I was put into the bottom band. And within a couple of months, my mum was called and questioned, like, why is Pandora in this band? Like, she should be at the top. She should be in the top band. So I got moved really quickly and, you know, I did really, really well in my GCSEs. But I remember that experience as something that shaped me. And maybe it didn't shape me at the time, although I do sort of remember that, like, I'll show you, woman. And I worked really, really hard. You know, I think maybe that because of that and being told, no, you can't, you know, it made me want to show her and show myself that I could be that type of person. And it comes up so often, you know, in meditations and, you know, healing work with me, that was a really big deal for me. You know, that was a real big deal. And, you know, it's probably in part why I do what I do now, is I support women by seeing their power instead of trying to take it away, which ultimately is what this lady was doing, right? So there we go. 10 to 20. First one is the teacher basically saying I was not a Langton girl and me proving her wrong, which is a little taste of who I am as a person. I think a lot of my ambition came from that point. So the second part of this decade, shall we say, was leaving for London. I moved to London when I was 16. Such a huge life transition. Having a daughter now, I often say to my mum, like, how did you let me do that? And she always answers the same thing. She was like, that's what you wanted to do. Like, that is who you were. You know, you were confident and you were a go-getter. You were like, I'm moving to London and that's what I'm going to do. So she let me. So big girl moves to London. I mean, talking about how this shaped my life and career, I mean, in every possible way. So when my mum left, she dropped me off. I had this little fuchsia pink bedspread in this tiny little room with a sink. And then there was like a shared kitchen space. I mean, it was quite grim. Looking back, it was quite grim. I hid in my room, looking through the little spy hole of the door when I heard people outside. I was so nervous. And a girl knocked saying that they were going to the pub and I jumped at the chance. And by the time that my mum had got home 2 hours later, I'd already made some friends and she called me and I was like, I'm fine, mum. I've made some friends. I've got to go. I'm really busy. And that was it. So this whole experience shaped me massively. I really grew up. I had to get responsible. You know, I think that kind of ambition had always been within me. And, you know, I really got my ambition met in that way. I met people from all walks of life. I met culture in a way that I hadn't before. And it really opened doors for me in the way that wouldn't have otherwise. So, you know, I always trust that I was meant to go on that path. And, you know, funny now being a mother, but, you know, if that is, you know, what my daughter will want, I will always support her in that, because it just opened me up to possibilities in huge ways, but also to people, you know, to other people's stories, to my own conditioning versus someone else's conditioning. And I really started to crave, I get, you know, really obsessed with people, their stories, who they were, you know, how they got here. I love, love, love is, you know, part of why I'm sharing this podcast episode with you today. But, you know, our turning points, the turning points that got us here, you know, there's such magic, or there is such magic in these stories. So leaving to London, big deal. So moving then into, I stayed in London for 17 years. So let's move into age 20 to now. So the first actually is a really bad relationship, the ultimate turning point. I was age 27, Saturn return for those astrology lovers out there. And I became a shell of myself. And it was a really beautiful experience that shaped me because it was the first time that I sought some therapy. I had a couple of friends, my dear friends, Emily and Wallow. And Wallow said to me, you know what, maybe you should try some therapy. Like, I've been having therapy and it's, you know, it's been really good for me. You know, he's almost like, do it. And like, you know, he was sharing with me these sort of, it's like his, the date he has with himself once a week. And so I was like, okay, well, if you think I should, you know, this could help. And I sat in that therapy chair for the first time and I cried and I just said, I don't know who I am anymore. And that's really, you know, how I felt. I'd got to top of my game in PR. I was a PR director, had a team of 9 beneath me. I earned good money. I'd bought my first flat. And I just felt lost, empty, you know. This really shaped me. And it really particularly was an experience that shaped my life because it really shaped my spiritual path. And from that point, I got really interested in the relationship to myself, the relationship to something greater than myself. And, you know, they often say it's those kind of turbulent times in our lives where we hit rock bottom that we find a new way, you know, a new version of us, a new way to live. And that was definitely that for me. So yeah, really kind of shaped my spiritual path. And like many, you know, I got really interested in, you know, things outside of the business that I was in. So publicity, communications, marketing, and actually leads me to my second one, which was leaving my corporate job. I feel like a lot of people will relate to this, but it was such a big deal, you know, all of that safety, or let's say perceived safety. And I left my corporate job when I was 28, 29. I went freelance and I worked for a company, a PR agency that had clients between Ibiza and London. And at that point, I also started my nutrition course, my nutrition degree, and trained as a yoga teacher. And that very much, you know, led me to the path of where I am now. So I think that, you know, leaving that corporate job, if anyone is listening and they're in that corporate job and they know that they want to leave, you know, my advice to you, I would do it one of two ways. I would either save a good 6 months of expenses so that you can do that. Or I would, like I did, I reduced the number of days that I was in my profession, let's say. So I was freelancing at that point. And I set the business up on the side, which leads me to my third one, which is starting Rooted. My business name is actually Rooted London Limited. That's what it started out as. And I'm going to tell you the story, actually. So initially, someone who I knew personally, who then also went to the nutrition training school that I was at, CNM, we originally were going to start the business together. This is a story of intuition. I woke up that morning and I said to my partner at the time, Romilly's dad, I think Eleni's going to pull out. Like, I don't think, I feel like I've just got this weird feeling that she doesn't want to do the business together. And lo and behold, I got a message from her that morning like, hey, can we meet for a coffee? And she pulled out. And I'm so pleased she did, because actually what then the business was able to evolve into was, I think, so much more different to what we would have done together. But actually, Rooted London in the beginning was a juggle of yoga. So I was teaching yoga at a couple of hotels in London and a couple of studios. And then I also did food delivery. So you might not know that, but Rooted was actually, so my business started doing food delivery for fashion shoots. And I was kind of one of the first and only at the time. There was maybe sort of 2 or 3 different companies that did sort of a healthier version of shoot catering. And that's what I did. So I was studying nutrition, teaching yoga, doing food delivery. I used to do things like supper clubs and kind of events around well-being and health. And then I juggled PR on the side of that. So gosh, in the beginning, you know, I really did. I was up at 5, you know, I was in bed by midnight. A lot of the time, it really was, you know, a real juggle. And but I loved it. I loved every single moment of it. So, you know, the experience and how that shaped me. Well, it taught me, you know, as is business, just to keep going. You know, I didn't know about food delivery. I didn't know about catering. I didn't know about any of those things. And I just found people who were or would become my expanders, or, you know, I would research, I would hit Google, you know, searches. I would just really take the next best step, you know, and I'm still doing that now, running a multi six figure business, you know, scaling to seven figures. I'm still doing the same thing. I know it's like, oh, I don't know that. Who can I learn from, you know? So I hope that inspires you that actually, if you don't know the answer to something, like, you're not alone. We're all just working out what that answer is, you know, however we do that. So the fourth story of 20 to 38 to now was writing my book. Obviously a huge experience that shaped me and my career in many ways. The reason why that really shaped me is I actually was an intuitive eating and living coach at that time. So it was mostly coaching around food and life coaching and anti-diet, you know, body positivity. And after I wrote my book, it became a very natural turning point. And at that time, a lot of people were coming to me saying, do you do business coaching? You're doing so well. Like, how are you getting these results? And, you know, a lot of it obviously was my marketing experience. I've been doing it, you know, a good 15 years at that point. And so I started supporting women in business, mostly with marketing, messaging, and some of the sort of business experiences and mastery that I had gained myself. And obviously that has evolved to who I am now, with two signature kind of program mastermind hybrids, and yeah, supporting hundreds of women every year. So huge, huge transition, huge experience, which leads me really beautifully onto the last. So just before I came back to work, so I went on maternity leave and wrote my book during maternity leave. And when Romilly was 2 months old, I was at Shoreditch House for a mother's meeting. I don't know if you know mother's meeting. And there were three women sat in a chair doing a panel talk, one of which was Nikki Clinch, a dear friend of mine. One was a coach called Emily, who ended up being a client of mine for some time, which was amazing. And the other was a lady called Susie Ashworth. And I sat and thought, who the F is this woman? She is very impressive. And so I realized that she lived not too far from me. And I messaged her and said, would you like to meet for a coffee? Which we did. And I, if I'm honest, at that time, I didn't really know that there were business coaches out there. I thought business coaches were for like big corporations. And I met Susie, and I, within the next month of meeting her, I signed up to work with her for a year. I think at the time it was like 18,000 plus VAT. And I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. I just knew that I had about 5,000 in savings, possibly from my book advance. And I put that money down and was like, I don't know what I'm doing, but there is something in my body that is saying yes to this. And I hugely evolved from that point. And it became an experience that absolutely shaped my life and career. And to this day, you know, And obviously being a business coach, I stand by the power of coaching. It's why I strive to be the best possible coach that I can be for my clients, because I know the significance of a powerful coach and having, you know, that support network around you. So my final experience that shaped my life and career was taking a leap on myself at that time. You know, new mother, you know, knew that a book was kind of coming out, didn't know how that was going to shape, you know, my career. And everything changed from that moment and continues to change, you know, from here. I have had, I think, maybe a couple of 6 month stints without a coach or a mentor. And I ultimately always prioritize, you know, the support that I need so that I can be who I want to be and desire to be in my business. Right now I have a business coach, a tantric coach or mentor. And I am on various other kind of, you know, masterminds and trainings, because just the beauty of feeding myself in that way means that, you know, I'm a better coach because of it. So here we are, my turning points. There's been a whole bunch of micro ones in the last few years. You know, my first failed launch, my most successful launch, 3 6-figure launches in a row, which still honestly blows my mind. Breakups, heartbreak, all of the things. But I thought that these 10 were kind of the most relatable to experiences that have shaped my life and career. And I also promised that there would be some business mastery in this. So here is how you can use this for your own content. As I mentioned right at the beginning, you know, your stuff, your stories is your superpower. And the ways in which you, or I encourage you, invite you to start thinking about this is really making a timeline of your own life. Bring in the stories, the big ones, the small ones, the turning points that you remember being, you know, a catalyst for change for you. Maybe note down why you think people could relate to that, people in your audience specifically. List the experiences, list the expertise, list, you know, the credibility that it brought to you, the experience, the aha moments, and reference that when you're writing it. And then use that to storytell. Don't assume that people don't want to see the day-to-day. Don't assume that people don't want to know where you've come from. I guarantee now, more than ever, it is the thing that will make you stand out from the crowd. And remember why and how this is so important. People don't know all of your stories. They don't know the things that you have had to overcome to get to where you are today. And it's so easy for us to see that shiny disco ball or see the reel that's like, oh, look, you're here, without really truly understanding what it took for you to get there. And it's what we call in storytelling, kind of content creation, that counterintuitive story. You know, right now you see me doing X, but it wasn't always that way. You know, I struggled with, I experienced this, and here's how I got through it, or here's how it changed. And then call to action. And this is how and why I support you to do the same. You know, people do want to know the graft, the vulnerability, the challenges, because it makes you human. And right now in the service industry, especially the business coaching space right now, we want humans. We want to work with humans. And you are, I guarantee you listening to this right now, you're an epic human. And you've got some stories that the world wants to hear. So give that to your audience. Think about your own dreams, your own desires, your own fears, your frustrations. You know, these are the things that drive storytelling from your story, and also the stories and the content that you create in your marketing. So recap, make a timeline of your own transitions, your own big wins, little wins, challenges, experiences that have got you to where you've got to today. And then weave them into your storytelling. I hope this has helped. I hope this has been interesting to you, hearing some of my own stories. I would love to hear some of yours. If you've been in my world for a while, or you've been in my world for 5 minutes and you want to come and say hi, come and say hi. I would love to hear from you. You can find me on Instagram at PandoraPaloma_. And if storytelling is something you really want to harness to scale your business this year, I am thrilled to announce my next retreat, which is now over 2 days. It's called Captivate. It's on the 3rd to 4th of July, 2024. And it is a 2-day immersion and retreat for ambitious women to connect, create, and collaborate to break through to their next level in business. And over the course of the 2 days, we will not only go into how you can create more magnetic messaging and captivating content, as well as hot seat coaching, but we will also do a live content planning session. And then the next day, you will record and create that content. we will have a live content creation session, along with a portrait photography session so that you will have new headshots as well. And then we will go into how to optimize conversions and again, some hot seat coaching. So expect to be beautifully immersed with a refinement and simplification of your offer suite, knowing what you're selling and how you will sell it through powerful messaging, storytelling, and content creation. I would love to see you there. I will link in the details in the show notes. Have a beautiful rest of your day, beautiful rest of your week. And as always, sending big love and magnetism from my corner of the world to yours.